Ja, ich habe eigentlich den Brüdern gesagt, sie sollen das
Actually, I told the brothers they should do the whole conference, but they didn't want to. What should I do? So I will take the first and the last meeting.
Freue mich, dass Gemeinschaft mit euch.
I am happy to have fellowship with you.
Es ist eine Freude.
It is a joy.
Und ich danke dem Herrn, dass durch
And I thank the Lord
uns die Last gegeben,
through his sovereignty, he gave us the burden for this time in the book of Malachi,
zu lesen, Gemeinschaft zu haben,
that we can read it and have fellowship concerning it and have ears to hear what the Lord is speaking to us in this last time. We all know in what kind of a time we're living today. This age is a very special age. It's much more different than any other age in the past. It's so fallen. You all know the situation, even in Europe. Look, there's so much unrest, so many untruths, lies that are being spread. So many lies.
Yeah, und so finster.
And it's so dark.
Wir wissen, wer im Geist lebt, der
we know that he who lives in the Spirit will recognize and realize what kind of an age we are living in today. The Lord has exposed almost everything and brought it to light to show us that everything has become ripe for God's judgment.
In der Heiligen Schrift sehen wir
in every age in the Holy Scripture,
wie sagt man, geduldig.
We can see that God was so patient.
Und er wollte eigentlich die Menschheit, selbst sein eigenes Volk, nicht richten. Und er hat
he did not want to judge his own people. And he was hoping that the situation would change. And he gave humanity the opportunity to repent to him. That's why he did not judge. But all the prophets showed us that there will always be a time that comes where God could not wait. He had to judge. Because this cup of sin and unrighteousness and wickedness and evil is full and flowing over, overflowing. That's why judgment came. Today, we can see the evil everywhere, worldwide, not just in the US, but look at Europe. There's unrest everywhere in so many countries. It is global. It's not just a few countries in which all these things are happening, but it's happening worldwide. Through this, we can realize and recognize that the time of judgment and also the time of the our Lord's return is right before our door, standing before our door.
Und ich danke dem Herrn,
it's very near. I thank the Lord that he has exposed all these things. That's why the Lord is using this time to expose all these things. 4 years or even more ago, we have said that the time of democracy has come to an end. Since 1948, the Lord waited 70 years. And even in this last time, almost a year to convince us, look at what the situation and condition of this whole earth is. You cannot convince man. They have to see with their own eyes. If people don't believe, they have to see it. That's why in English we have the phrase, you cannot tell them, you have to show them. They have to see. And now many people have woken up. Not because somebody told them. But because they could see it with their own eyes. With their own eyes, they have seen how corrupt, how fallen, and how dark the whole situation is today. And we have to thank the Lord for this. For example, how can you testify to others that democracy has come to an end, and that it's the end of democracy? In the U.S., you can't convince anybody, oh, democracy is coming to an end, but now you can see it, and many are frustrated in this country. You don't dwell here in the U.S., but here, I'm dwelling in the U.S., as we have such a sense that there are so many who are frustrated. If it continues to go on like this, where will it lead to? And the Lord did this. Remember, he is the ruler of the kings of the earth. And he has the book with the seven seals, the scroll. That means everything is under his control. He determines what will happen at the time, what will happen, what he will allow. He is the one who decided it. And he has given us this special time to convince us. And whoever is blind will remain blind. And whoever can see will see it. That's why in the end, the book of Revelation chapter 22, the Lord said, he who is unrighteous will remain unrighteous, and he who is unholy will remain unholy. But he who is holy, let him be holy still. Not only is he going to remain holy, but he will be continue to be holy. And he who is righteous will continue to be righteous. If we are eyewitnesses of all the unrighteousness and evil and darkness that's happening today, all the more we need to pursue holiness. Just don't do it slowly, but we have to pursue holiness. Without which no one can see God. And the fruit, we have to bring the fruit of righteousness, holiness and righteousness. And Malachi shows this specifically to us, that God's nation must be a holy nation. In the very beginning, in Exodus chapter 19, God told the people of Israel when they came out of Egypt, he said that they should keep his commandments, his voice. And if they do that, God would make them a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. This is what God wanted to have. But unfortunately, in the end, they became an unholy nation and they worshipped idols worse than the nations. Then what should God do? even after they were led into captivity, 70 years afterwards, they came back to Jerusalem. Actually, their condition was not very good. Through Ezra and Nehemiah, the condition became a little bit better. The people's condition became a little bit better. But if you read in Ezra and Nehemiah, you can see that both prophets were used by the Lord, including Haggai. During this time, he used them to help them. And the situation became a little bit better. Then, after 12 years, Nehemiah, who was the governor in Jerusalem, he returned back to Babylon. He went back to the king. He took a leave, like a vacation. I wish I had a vacation for 12 years. But it was not a vacation for Nehemiah. He had to fight and he had to build for God's people. He rendered a lot of help to the people, and he stood together with them to fulfill God's plan and to rebuild the walls. That was 12 years that he remained there. And after 12 years, approximately in 434, or 432 BC, he went back. But after he went back to Babylon, Nehemiah told us in chapter 13, then it all began again. It started with the responsible ones. They thought, oh, Nehemiah's gone. Now we can do something else again. Then the situation went downhill. That's why Nehemiah had to come back again. We don't know how long he was gone, and we don't know when he came back. We can't figure out how long he was gone and when he returned. But what Malachi has shown us at this time is exactly that what Nehemiah 13, what was written in Nehemiah 13. You have to excuse me because I haven't spoken German in a long time. But hopefully you can still understand my foreign German. That's why it's very difficult to figure out at what time period Malachi was written. But generally, we can say between Malachi and the first coming of the Lord, was about 400 years, more or less. I would say less, but we don't know for sure.
Nicht möglich, eine feste Zeit.
Therefore, it's not possible to determine the exact time when Malachi was written. But can you imagine? If Ezra, Nehemiah, and Haggai, and even Zechariah, with all their prophecies and everything that the Lord spoke to them, in the long run, those words did not work in the people. Maybe their speaking did work for a little bit, but then the people fell away again, went downhill. We can imagine that the 400 years between Malachi and the Lord's coming, we can imagine what the condition was.
Zum Besseren zu ändern.
It's not easy to change for the better. It's always easier to change for the worse. Everything always goes downhill. That's a lot quicker. Many years when I lived in Los Angeles in 1971, it was glorious. 68 to 71, the church life was wonderful. But starting 72 to 75 and 76, we were in the valley.
Im Tal, im Todestal.
In the valley of death. In 77 and 78, we were practically in Babylon, a captive in Babylon.
So schnell ist es geschehen.
The degradation happened so quickly. So you can imagine that in this time, from Malachi to the first coming of the Lord, we can imagine what happened. Actually, we can see this in Daniel chapter 11, all the political things that occurred.
Damals die syrische Seleucid.
The Syrian. The time of, in Syria, at the time of Antiochus Epiphanes, the entire priesthood was so corrupted. In the end, we can even see that Antiochus Epiphanes, he put an idol on the temple and slay a pig on the altar. How is that possible? And the priesthood would fight amongst themselves to find out who would be the high priest. And they even took the gold from the temple and bribed.
Bestechung.
Bestechung, also Bestechung.
They used the gold of the temple to bribe Antiochus so that they would get the position of high priest. My goodness. What do you think God would say to that? You cannot imagine. Dear saints, you cannot imagine how it was at that time. It is no wonder when John the Baptist, the first messenger of the Lord, came and spoke to the scribes and the Pharisees, when they came to be baptized, what did John the Baptist say to them? Did he say, "Oh, welcome, I'm so wonderful that you came"? Was he happy? Was he joyful? No, he was not happy. He said, "You brood of vipers." These two words I remember. Brood of vipers. How terrible the situation was when Jesus came to the earth on the first time. We can read that in all four Gospels, how fallen and corrupted the priesthood was. The high priest, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, all those who were in a high position. Just as Malachi had described. They corrupted, not only left, but corrupted the covenant with Levi. They even despised the covenant of Levi. Outwardly, they were still practicing it, but inwardly it was full of worms, so corrupted. And they even wanted to kill Jesus, the Messiah, and they also did that. What kind of a situation was it at that time? If we see the background, then we can really treasure this book of Malachi. Because it's such a terrible situation today. They despise the priestly service. They'd rather sit there and sing and sing and sing and hear a message and then go home. And then they live their life in the world. And on Sunday they come again. On Sunday they're holy, or seem to be holy. Then, after 6 days, or I don't know what the next 6 days looks like. What can we say? That's why I'm always very thankful, and the Lord knows it, that in the last 4 or 5 years, the Lord has shown us the priestly service, the priesthood. And it is a kingdom of priests, a holy priesthood. There is no such thing as an unholy priesthood. If it's unholy, it's not a priesthood. I told the saints, you can do so many services. You can preach the gospel. You can stand at the podium and give a message. You can have a lot of fellowship and still remain unholy, right? Yes. In Philippians, Paul said, some preached the gospel out of jealousy and strife, and they wanted to cause problems for Paul. And they were competing with him. But Paul said, as long as Christ is preached, he prays the Lord. So you can preach the gospel without being holy. But to do the priestly service, to practice the priesthood without holiness, without sanctification, if you enter into the sanctuary, do you think you would survive? Would you live? Be able to live there? You have to be cleansed, just as Hebrews also tells us. Our hearts need to be sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies must be washed with pure water. Then we also have to put on the new man, to put on the holy priestly garments. Then we are qualified to enter in. People say, come into the Holy of Holies with boldness. But yes, that is just one verse, but there are other verses that go along with it. You can't enter and run in with your PJs, pajamas, and still survive and come out alive.
Was soll ich denn sagen, liebe Heilige?
What should I say, dear saints?
So dieses Wort in Malachi ist für uns.
This word in Malachi is for us.
Den Dienst von den Priestern sogar verachten und nicht
those who despise and do not practice the priestly service, they will not be able to understand the book of Malachi. I don't believe that they could understand it. And this book is not for them. It's not for them.
Herr Jesus. Und wir
Lord Jesus. And we don't just want to give an expose about Malachi. And I have no desire to describe and explain any book in the Bible. I'm afraid of doing that. Didn't 2 Peter chapter 1 say the first thing when we read the word, the first thing we should make sure is that there's no private interpretation when we come to the prophecy of Scripture. And we should pay attention to that. Lord, we don't want to use our own understanding.
Denken.
It is not according to our own thinking, our concepts. We need a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of understanding, and a spirit of counsel, and a spirit of the power of the Lord, and the spirit of knowledge, the real and true knowledge of the Lord. And finally, but not last, but the most important is the spirit of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. The spirit of the fear of the Lord. For without the fear of the Lord, we can just do whatever we want. Just as the people of Israel, they just did whatever was right in their own eyes. Is that not the situation today? Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. I trust in the Lord. It is His sovereignty that exactly in this time, that His burden is in this book of Malachi. I believe that if we had gone over this book at the very beginning when we started the priestly service, all the saints would have had such fear. Oh, I don't know what kind of offering that is, and I don't know if that which I'm bringing is correct. And we have so much fear and we're afraid. In the end, no one would dare to bring an offering to the Father anymore. If at the very beginning we would have gone over the book of Malachi in fellowship, then nothing, God would not have reaped fruits from that.
So ist es. Kann ich mir gut vorstellen.
I can imagine that this is the case. But now, praise the Lord, after many years, after 4 years of practice and experience, now is the right time to have fellowship about this book, to see it so serious. We have to give the very best, to bring the very best to the Father, not just something. It has to be the first fruits and the best of the first fruits that we have to bring to the Father. And surely a part of that is for all the saints, especially for those, for the one who has brought the offering. And the Father will share it with all the priesthood and they will have the wonderful food to eat. It's not just for the satisfaction of the Father, but also as food for all the saints, especially for the priesthood. It's a gain if you bring your best and richest experience of the Lord and you bring it as a burnt offering or meal offering or peace offering or wave or heave or sin or trespass offering or even a drink offering, and we bring it to the Father. When, if you bring such an offering to the Father, all the priests who are there at the table of the Lord will gain something wonderful from it. The Father receives the best part, and those priests who brought the priest the offering, they receive the shoulder and the breast. You receive the love. The love of God and the power of God, the strength, and the rest of the priesthood, they will receive the rest, the leftover. They will get the finest flour, and they will also get a part of the cakes. Why not? It's such a gain for the whole priesthood, for all priests. Can you imagine that? Is that not our experience in the last times? Or would you rather sing 20 songs at the Lord's table and then you get a little bit hoarse in your throat? In the end, we won't even be able to speak. And one song for the Father. Do you think that the Father is satisfied with just a few songs and nobody is doing anything for him, and then a long message at the end? Are you really satisfied? And what was the result? What was the fruit? Today we can see the fruit. That's why the Lord said, you can know what kind of a tree it is based on the fruit that it gives. After so many years, now we can see the fruit. We can see the result. That's why, dear saints, we have to hear and take heed for the contents of Malachi. We have to have an ear to hear the speaking of the Holy Spirit. And not just to hear it, but also afterwards to do it, to walk according to it, to live according to it. And I thank the Lord that whoever is faithful to do that, we will be able to see the transformation, the change, the growth, the joy. Even you yourselves can see this and realize it. In your family life, at work, in the church life, you can see there is a change amongst the saints. That is the result if we experience Christ in every opportunity and situation every week. The Father is satisfied and we are also satisfied. What a wonderful way. What a wonderful way.
Das heißt, wir müssen zur Versammlung kommen.
That means we have to come to the meeting prepared and not come with empty-handed. Before, I would bring my Bible and I would have the songbook, and that's all I needed for the meeting. Song number this, song number that, and then we'll sing so many songs. Then I'll read a few Bible verses and pray, and then there's a long message, and then we're done. That is not effective. That's not life. Life is the living person of Jesus Christ. He is our life. And this life is not just that he lives inside of you. No, that's not life. That itself is not life. What's the purpose if you have a human life but you stay in bed every day? What kind of life is that? Even a cocoon, the cocoon of a butterfly,
täglich beschäftigt und frisst.
Even the cocoon, a caterpillar is always busy every day and it's eating your vegetables and it'll be transformed into a butterfly. Life is active. We have to live Christ. That's why Paul said, for me to live is, read the word. No, he said, for me to live is Christ. Is Christ in your marriage, in your family life, at work, even if you are by yourself, in your daily life, in your walk. This is what it's all about, that we gain Christ, that we experience Christ. How? As a burnt offering, as a meal offering in his humanity and all his virtues. And that is ready to be baked in every difficulty, in all kinds of suffering, the sufferings of Christ. Paul did not just want to experience the power of his resurrection, but also the fellowship of his sufferings. Without suffering, no one can be transformed. It's impossible. Even our Lord was perfected by the things that he suffered. In Hebrews chapter 5, do you think that the Lord, in his humanity, could be perfected? Would he have been able to be perfected without suffering? If already he had to go through all the sufferings that he had to go through and was perfected that way, how much more should we also go that same path? What happens to us when we're suffering? We murmur. I don't know about you, but I murmur. I complain. Lord, why? Why does this have to happen to me? Why this problem? But praise the Lord. It is for your edification, so that you could reach the goal, so that God could do his work in you and me and perfect his work, that we would be transformed. That's why Paul said, we must go through many tribulations into the kingdom of God. Not through much blessing entering the kingdom, but through tribulation. I see Sarah. Sarah, do you love tribulation? Maybe just a little bit of criticism from the parents. Oof, exploding. And steam is coming out. If this is the case, then no transformation can occur. When I look back, dear saints, there are many things that lies that were spread against me, against the churches in the Stuttgart, and against me personally. There were many problems. And I lost so many friends. I was despised. Do you think that that was bad, terrible? The Lord says, rejoice. Not too long ago, I met with some saints in the southern part of the Philippines, in Mindanao. I had some fellowship. And they explained to me that when they practiced and talked about the priesthood to other saints, other believers that they knew previously, and they wanted to show them the way, what was the result? They were persecuted. They were very much persecuted. Two or three weeks ago, they said, what should we do if we're persecuted? They're speaking so many evil things against us. What should we do? I said, the Lord said, rejoice. That was my response. That came out of my, that flowed out of my mouth. Matthew chapter 5 verse 11 says, rejoice. Rejoice because your reward in heaven is great. For yours is the kingdom of heavens. What do you want to do? Do you want to fight against them? Do you want to write letters? Do you want to justify yourself? Do you want to argue? Do you want to fight? You will lose. You will lose the reward. It goes, suffering goes with it. What happened to the first messenger of the Lord, John the Baptist? The Lord said he was the greatest prophet amongst all prophets. And he even came with the spirit and power of Elijah. And he was courageous, bold. What happened to him? He lost his head. Literally. He lost his head. Do you want to be such a messenger of the Lord? Malachi is the messenger of the Lord. My messenger. The messenger. My messenger. Would you like to be such a messenger? Malachi means my messenger. Some people said that his name was Malachiah. That Malachi was an abbreviation. But that the name might have been Malachi, the messenger of Jehovah. But the Lord said, it is my messenger. No one can say clearly whether Malachi was truly his name. But the Septuagint says, my messenger, his messenger. But it doesn't matter. A messenger is a messenger. Are you a faithful messenger? The Lord needs such a messenger. Such a messenger that is what the Lord needs.
Kennt jemand vielleicht also Amos 3.
Somebody can read maybe Amos chapter 3. And look.
Welche Kapitel? In Amos.
Which chapter? Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Whoever has it, read it loudly so that all the saints can hear it. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants. What? The Lord does nothing? Jehovah, The Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants. He needs his servants. He needs his messengers. Because he first has to prepare the way. The Lord can't suddenly come without an announcement. But would you be happy if my wife came in front of your door without announcing that she's coming? That's not proper. Without giving an announcement, I just show up in front of your door to visit you. Nobody does that. And God doesn't either. He will not do anything unless he first sends his messengers, especially if he's going to judge. That's why he sent Isaiah and Jeremiah, and he sent those prophets, Joel, all the minor prophets. All the minor prophets. They're not so minor. It's so necessary. The Lord needs messengers today. Even at the time of Isaiah, it's written, whom shall I send? Even God asked this question, whom should I send? That means he couldn't find anyone. Or he didn't want to force anyone to go. That means it must be voluntary. That means somebody has to volunteer.
Wer will sich freiwillig melden?
Who wants to volunteer?
Amen.
Amen.
In der Halle dort in
there in the meeting hall in Eislingen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. At least there are 120. 120 is a wonderful number, as in the time of the Pentecost in Jerusalem. 120 gathered together. Wonderful. The Lord needs many messengers today. Without the faithful priests, it is impossible.
Messengers.
The prophets are messengers, especially the priests. And it's written so clearly in Malachi in chapter 2, verse 7, that the priests are the messengers of the Lord. In chapter 2, verses 5, 6, and 7, what is the qualifications of the priests? Especially their lips and their mouth are important. Our mouth must be purified. As in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah saw the glory of the throne, he saw, woe is me, I'm a man of unholy lips, unclean lips. How can we be a messenger of the Lord if our lips are unclean? If our thoughts are unclean? What comes out of our lips first comes out of our thoughts. And whatever is in our thoughts is in our hearts. That means it goes from the heart to the mind out of your mouth.
Unsere Lippen, unser Mund.
Our lips, our mouths.
Und wir sollen mit dem Herrn, mit Gott wandeln.
And we must walk with God in peace and equity.
Welch eine Voraussetzung. Dann müssen wir
What a prerequisite. And we must turn away many from iniquity and unrighteousness. and show them the way of the Lord. And we must have them keep the knowledge on the lips. We have to have a spirit of the knowledge and also of the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Otherwise, we'll just think and speak whatever we want. We will criticize, we will condemn, and we will say all kinds of things. Many times I told my two daughters, if you have nothing good to say to anyone, don't say anything. It's not our job to criticize people. We all have to learn. And then in the end, it says that the priests are the messengers of the Lord. Do we want to be messengers? That requires a lot of practice, exercise into righteousness and holiness. And hopefully there will also be glory. For our God is righteous, holy, and glorious. How can his messengers be different? That's why in our daily living, we have to pay attention and take heed to what we say and what we speak. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It overflows out of your mouth. We must be such messengers. Messengers. Don't think, oh, as a messenger of the Lord, I need to read a lot of books. I have to have the knowledge and the exposition of the Bible. I have to listen to other people's messages and repeat them. No, this is not what the messenger is. Then you're just a record player. You're a recorder. We're not a recorder. We are living messengers of the Lord. We speak what the Lord wants to speak in us. But we cannot do that if our mouth and our lips are so loose and we just speak whatever. And all of a sudden, when we get together on the day of the Lord, we want to speak something holy. It doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. That's why it requires practice. The Lord said in Malachi, Israel is my holiness, a holy seed. But unfortunately, it became so unholy. It does not work. But we have to preserve our hearts. May the Lord, through his indwelling spirit, help us to preserve us. Lord, sanctify us all. That is so important. How can we understand the thoughts of the Lord if in our daily life we're thinking about all kinds of stuff? We're even thinking about unclean things, having unclean thoughts. And then you come to God's word, then we want to get revelation from him. Then you don't need revelation, but you'll look at books and you'll look at your computer and Google it. And Google will be your teacher, not the Holy Spirit. Google it. Then you'll learn everything from Google. And then you'll give your message.
Ist das das Sprechen des Herrn?
Is that the speaking of the Lord? Is that God speaking? That's why it says the burden. In German, it says the speaking, the burden of the word of the Lord. That means it's God's speaking. Who is speaking? Are you the messenger speaking? Or is the Lord? Is it the Lord speaking? Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, you want proof who is speaking in me, which is Christ. That's why oftentimes, many times, our message doesn't have any power and is not effective in the hearer. And the reason is who the source of who is speaking. It is the speaking out, or what is spoken, God's spoken word. God's word has a burden. That means it is a special burden. It's not, oh, what's the topic? It's not about the topic, saints. We can forget about the topic. What is the desire? What is God's burden for us today, right now, today? What does he want to speak to us? Not what Luther spoke 500 years ago, or what Brother so-and-so spoke 20 years ago. What we have learned. We're coming to the conference. What kind of a topic is it? You have to ask, Father, what is on your heart? What do you want to say? What is your message today? What is your burden? What does your people need right now? What do you want to do right now? What do you want to reach? What do you want to accomplish? This is the speaking, the burden of the Lord, the oracle of the word of the Lord. So oracle means the burden. His burden has to be very important. Can you imagine? God is not the same as us. Oh, today my burden is I want to make the water hose properly. That's my burden for today. What's your burden? Oh, what do we want to eat for lunch? That's my burden, my desire. Should we have fried chicken or should we eat sausages or steak? What do we want to eat? That's my burden. That's your burden for today. I'm not asking my wife, what's your burden for lunch? That's not a burden. Do you use the word burden for lunch? No. The burden of the word of the Lord, that means it's when God speaks, there's always a very serious, heavy burden in his heart. And look at every word in Malachi. Do you think it's spoken lightly? Do you think it's just a topic? It's not a topic. It's the real condition of the people. What the Lord spoke in Revelation 2 and 3, was it a topic? Lord? What is your topic for their church in Thyatira? It's not a topic. It's the true situation at that time. The Lord does not just speak so that you can know something or so that you can have a wonderful exposition of the scripture, but it's a burden. Burden means it's something important that is weighing on his heart. If you have a real burden in your heart, you can say that you have a heavy heart. That's the burden. Don't you have a heavy heart? With something important, with an important desire. You know what God wants to have. You saw the entire situation of what's happening today. Don't you have a heavy burden in your heart? Father, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? And what should we do? What do you want to do in this whole outward situation? But much more, what do you want to do with us? How shall your holy priesthood go on? What do we still need to learn? What should we still do? How can we improve this wonderful priestly service? How can the burnt offering grow from a small turtle dove to an ox? Or how can I take my meal offering with the finest flour and then I need to knead it and I need to bake it? Nobody eats flour directly. Do you eat the fine flour directly from your plate to your mouth? Who eats fine flour every day just as it is? Germans are good bakers. If you go to a bakery, oh, what would you like? I'd like to have some fine flour. The baker will say, go to Aldi. Go to the supermarket. We bring a meal offering. You can bring the fine flour. That's good. God will not say, God will not reject your fine flour, but if you grow in life, you will also want to bake something for God. If you come visit me and bring some fine flour to me, I can't bake anything. But if you bring a Black Forest cake to me, I will rejoice. Or bring a German roll. A bread roll. I miss German rolls for breakfast. Can you imagine if I come to breakfast at your place and there's just a plate with fine flour? A plate of fine flour? That means whatever we bring to the Father can always improve, can always be better than what we have experienced this week. That means next week I want to bring something even better to the Father. Do you have this purpose in your heart?
Bitte, liebe Heiligen.
Dear Saints, time is over. I'm not trying to condemn you, but I'm trying to take it as an encouragement, not as an accusation, but as an encouragement that we should go on, that we should grow, that our experience with Christ must grow because his riches are so rich. Paul said they're the unsearchable riches of Christ. Then I want to dig more of these unsearchable riches and experience more of it. Don't you also want to do this?
Meine Frau forscht immer zu sehen.
My wife is always figuring out what kind of new things can she cook. Yeah, that's wonderful.
Ja, nicht wahr? Ja, das machen viele Hausfrauen. Ja?
Many housewives do that. Because there's so much variety.
Ich kann mir nicht vorstellen, dass eine Bäckerei nur
I cannot imagine that a bakery would only have one type of cake. But there's such a choice, and you can choose whatever you'd like. And you can try many different things. Isn't that wonderful? We have so much to learn, and this is what I want to encourage you, encourage all the saints. God wants the best of the best.
The best of the best.
The best of the best. How about that? I did not know that there's even a best part of the best, because it's already the best. It's a little strange, isn't it? But God wants the best of the best. That is wonderful. And from the unsearchable riches of Christ, there's not enough that we can never exhaust it. You thought, oh, today it's pretty good, but tomorrow you'll find something even better and even better.
Und das ist das, was wir machen sollen.
This is what we should do. And as messengers of the Lord, you cannot be satisfied with your experience of Christ. You cannot think, I already know enough. No. Because situations are always changing. Tomorrow it will be different.
Das heißt,
that means there's so much, so many new things of the Lord that we can experience and that we can receive from Him. Otherwise, you can't always give the same message for 20 years because the situation has been changing. Today you don't ride on horses on the street anymore. Today you drive with cars and you have EV cars. And every year there's something new. I thought, my goodness, when will new inventions stop? But we Christians, we always stay the same. You know, God remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why? Because He is God. He is perfect. He doesn't need to get better, but you and I, we need to improve. Praise the Lord. So, dear saints, be a faithful, good, growing messenger.
Und das ist nur möglich, wenn Gott ständig
and that is only possible if God is constantly speaking to you and if you are coming constantly before the presence of the Lord and you're speaking with Him and hearing what He wants to speak to you. You know, in our prayer, it's always one-sided. We just pray and He doesn't speak. He doesn't speak and we pray. And then we say amen and walk away. Amen means, okay, I'm finished. Lights out. God says, wait, I haven't spoken yet. And you're already leaving? Learn to hear Him daily. Daily let the anointing teach us. And speak to us. He is a speaking God. His living speaking is very important for the living messengers. Otherwise, you will have nothing else to say. Otherwise, you will always have to say the same thing over and over. And you actually don't need to say anything. You just can take your phone and hit a button and let the recorder speak for you. Isn't that much better?
Aber nein, der lebendige
but no, The living God always has something living to say that corresponds and that fits to the situation, to the present situation. Praise the Lord. Okay? Amen. Let us pray and let us thank the Lord and open our heart to the Lord. Amen.